Now, 50 years ago this month, another team was long overdue for a World Series title, the Brooklyn Dodgers. Jeff London has this appreciation.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge.
Was there ever a baseball team as beloved as Dem Bums, the Brooklyn Dodgers? In the 1940s and 50s, they seemed to always be in a pennant race, often with their crosstown rivals, the Giants, or in the World Series, only to lose, often in seven games, to their other crosstown rivals, the hated Yankees. Their rallying cry was, "Wait till next year." And then, in 1955, it was next year. The Brooklyn Dodgers finally won it all. Even today, almost five decades after they left for Los Angeles, the Dodgers can still elicit warm memories on the streets of Brooklyn. Ben Carrigy grew up in Bay Ridge and remembers seeing shortstop Pee Wee Reese around the neighborhood.
Pee Wee lived on 97, and my aunt owned a liquor store, and he used to come out. A couple of Sundays, I used to go and see him. I was about 10, 11 years old, and he'd say hello to her. You know, he'd wave over when he was going downstairs. The Dodgers were family because they lived in Brooklyn, so we loved them dearly.
Hall of Fame sports writer Jack Lang covered the Dodgers for the Long Island Press from 1946 to 1957. He says the close relationship between Dodgers fans and their team was literally in the Brooklyn air.
You could walk down the street and never miss a pitch because everybody had their radios on, and the taxi cab sitting on a corner had their radios on, and people's windows were open in the summertime, and he could almost walk the street and not miss a pitch.
Robinson waits. Here comes the pitch. And there goes a line drive to left field. Swan is after it. He leaps. It's over his head against the wall. Here comes Gilliam scoring. Brooklyn wins.
He was a team with personality and, even in those days before free agency, remarkable stability, says Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter Dave Anderson, who wrote about the Dodgers for the Brooklyn Eagle.
They had basically the same team for 10 years. Roy Campanella caught, Gil Hodges played first base, second base was Robinson and then Junior Gilliam, Pee Wee Reese was the shortstop, third base was Billy Cox and then Robinson, the outfielder was Duke Snider in center, Carl Fiorillo in right, and the left fielder seemed to change almost every year. The pitching was basically the same too for many of those years. Don Newcomb, Carl Erskine, the team was the same team. And as a result, it made it that much easier for the fans to follow them and grow to love them.
Take pitcher Carl Erskine. He got his nickname, Oisk, from his first day in Brooklyn. When he was promoted from a farm team in Fort Worth, he reported to Ebbets Field and passed a group of fans buying tickets.
As soon as they saw my duffel bag with Fort Worth on the side of it, I could hear the fans in the line say, hey, there's Oiskin from Fort Worth. And so that was my introduction to Ebbets Field. And I could hear this day, I go back to Brooklyn, somebody will say, "Hey, Oisk, how you doing?"
Of course, one of the most exciting players on the Dodgers during this era was Jackie Robinson, who in 1947 became the first African-American to play in the major leagues.
Did you see Jackie Robinson hit that ball? It went zooming across the left field wall.
Robinson gave the Dodgers speed. He could manufacture runs by stealing bases and intimidating pitchers. But in breaking baseball's color barrier, he also endured constant threats and racial epithets, says Carl Erskine.
Now, on a daily basis, he was there to help us win games, and he did. But in the long look, he was there to change society, and in time, he did.
Retired sports writer Jack Lang well remembers a now famous moment in Robinson's first season. The Dodgers and Reds were playing a doubleheader in Cincinnati, and Robinson was getting heckled pretty badly by the fans. Pee Wee Reese, the team's captain and shortstop, responded in a simple manner.
When Pee Wee heard them booing Jackie, he just went over and put his arm on his shoulder. Now, this was a Southern boy from Louisville, and the fans in the stands suddenly realized that Pee Wee had accepted Jackie, and maybe they should too.
But it's a natural fact, when Jackie comes to bat, the other team is through.
In short order, several other African-American players joined the Dodgers, catcher Roy Campanella and pitcher Don Newcomb among them. The team performed brilliantly over the years, even if they never won the series. In 1955, under manager Walt Alston, they came out of the gate swiftly. After a month, they had 22 wins and just 2 losses, and the Dodgers captured the National League pennant by 13.5 games. George Shotgun Shuba, who played left field, says for the aging team, this seemed like their last shot.
We're glad we won that time because the guys were getting old. I don't think they would have beat the Yankees after that.
Of course, the Dodgers didn't make it easy. The series went back and forth for 6 games until the final showdown at Yankee Stadium. In that game, Dodger outfielder Sandy Amoros made a spectacular late-inning catch in left field, which saved the day. And Johnny Podras, a 23-year-old pitcher who had struggled with a losing record all season, improbably hurled his 2nd complete game of the series, a shutout.
It's a tense struggle into the last of the ninth. Johnny Podras pitching brilliant ball, 1 out to go. Elston Howard grounds to short. Reese throws to Hodges. Brooklyn wins, and the Dodgers go wild as they mob pitcher Podras, who hurls Brooklyn to its first World Championship.
Pitcher Carl Erskine.
That was the sweetest victory, I guess. Do it on Yankee soil and finally give our fans what they had wanted and what they had needed and what they deserved.
Brooklyn Dodger fan Ben Carrigie was 14 at the time.
It was like a New Year's Eve. Everybody was driving around beeping the horns, and we all come out and we celebrated. It was like probably at that time one of the happiest days of my life that they finally won.
For NPR News, I'm Jeff London in New York.
You've gotta have heart. All you really need is heart. When the odds are saying you'll never win, that's when the grin should start.
It's the youth of America, Joe.
When your luck is batting zero,
ha ha ha,
get your chin up off the floor,
ha ha ha.
Mister, you can be a hero,
ha ha ha.
You can open any door.
There's nothing to it.
And we're pleased to welcome to the world this week Evelyn Jean Hun. She's the daughter of our technical director, Burke Hun, and his wife, Heather. She arrives just in time to see her dad's Astros in the World Series. Maybe that's a sign. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.